All right, welcome to part four of our series, Selfless. And let me say, as I always do right here, welcome to all those who join us online, our online campus. Glad to have you here today. Come on, everybody, let's welcome them. Come on, you can do better than that. Yeah. All right. Does anybody know what next Sunday is? Oh, somebody just threw me a football right there. Okay, all right, Super Bowl Sunday, next Sunday. And so I have been instructed to inform all of you that next Sunday, you're free to wear your sports jerseys to church. Wouldn't that be fun? So it doesn't have to be those that are in the Super Bowl, your team. Doesn't have to be football. It can be baseball. It can be NASCAR. It can be tennis. I don't care. Whatever. But we're just going to have a lot of fun with it next Sunday. So hope that you'll be with us, and we'll have our own party right here at church. It's going to be awesome next Sunday morning. Just going to have a great life-giving service as we launch a brand new series. We'll tell you more about that next week, but really excited about what that's going to bring to you beginning next week. Let me also mention that next week, highlight one thing that was on the Crosspoint News, and that is our small group showcase will be next Sunday morning. So that's going to be a lot of fun, and so people have their different tables set up out here. You can shop for a small group. You can check out ahead of time like you just heard online. But be sure and come next Sunday. Bring somebody with you. It's going to be a great Sunday next week. As we have been in this series, beginning a new year in this month of January, we've taken this time to talk about the fact that many times at the beginning of the year we set New Year's resolutions. Oftentimes those New Year's resolutions are very inwardly focused, want to lose weight, want to get in the gym, want to, do some things, and they're mostly are self-oriented, and we're turning that around, and we're making this year, as we begin this year, not about me, but about others, in that we're living our life not selfish, but rather selfless, hence the title of this series, Selfless. And I want to give you a final installment today of this series. If you have your message notes there in your worship guide, you can pull those out. Got several fill in the blanks for you today, and today's going to be a little bit different, so just hang with us, and if you're watching online, you can download those notes there as well and follow along with us. Let's begin with our scripture that's found in Matthew for our theme scripture for this series, Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves." So instead of it being inwardly focused, we're now denying ourselves and we're focusing on others, therefore taking up our cross and following him. Verse 25 says, "For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it." So there's a key in that. When we begin to focus not just on ourselves but on others, we actually discover who we really are in Christ. And he goes on to say, "For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done." So there's some things for us to do. Now, we know we don't become a Christian by our doing. That's all Christ doing. It's all his work, not of our works, thus we should boast. But it's all his grace, his mercy. But once we do become saved, that means that we have been changed from the inside out, and our doing begins, and we begin working for the kingdom of God and for those things that matter. He changes the direction in our life. In week one, we talked about being bold in witness. Week two, we talked about being faithful in service. And last week, we talked about being extravagant in generosity. If you missed any of those, you can find those archived online. But today, we're going to talk about being grateful in the grind. And let me begin by saying that so much of life that we experience as we go through life, we are oftentimes under this illusion that something is just around the corner that matters. There's something just around the corner that's going to make a difference, that's going to bring fulfillment. And so we live our life anticipating what is just around the corner, what our next step is going to be, what our goal is going to be, and it's out there. It's not here, it's not in today, but it's out there. If I could get there, then I'll be fulfilled. If I could reach that thing, then my life would be complete. If I could have that thing, then I'd be okay today, but every time we get there, there's another there. And so, I mean, think about it. We live our life oftentimes that way. You know, when we're in elementary school, we just can't wait till we get to middle school. Back in my day, it was called junior high school. And we just, when we get there, we have schedules, and we don't just have one teacher. We have different teachers, and it's going to be awesome. And then when we get to junior high, we can't wait to get out of junior high because we got to get to senior high because that's where it really counts. You know, when you're in senior high school, you're just all of that. And a bag of chips, too. And then when you get through high, you're in high school, you get, well, if I could just get to college. And you're thinking about what college I'm going to go to and what's next. And then when you get to college, all you're thinking about is graduation day. And getting that degree and just getting out. I just got to get out. I got to start my career. Because once I start my career, then life really begins and it's going to be great. And then if I can get my career where I can start earning some money, you know, and for a pastor, it's like, well, if I can start that church, and then if I can get out of that house and I can get into the big church and build the church and get out of that temporary situation and get into a permanent situation, and then if I could just get more people in the house, then we'll have what we need. And if we could get our finances up, then we could be able to do more. And if I could be the place where I could go full-time in ministry, then I would have arrived. And is anybody getting the picture? It's like, you know, or we get to that career and we say, well, when I get married, then if I could just get her, she says, if I could just get him, when we get that first kid, then our family begins, then life begins, and when is the second kid going to come along? Well, finally, 8.5 years, he came along and later, and we're, hey, well, thank, we got a family, it's awesome, you know, and then the parents are thinking, if I could just get them out of diapers, if the day will come, we could get them out of diapers, and then it's, if I could just get them through college, and it's always something beyond, and so many years sometimes are wishing things would happen in a next season instead of realizing what's in the current season. It kind of reminds me of one of my movies that I really enjoyed watching years ago called Mr. Holland's Opus. Anybody ever seen Mr. Holland's Opus? Okay. One righteous person in the building. That's just great. But Mr. Holland's Opus is starring Richard Dreyfuss. Richard Dreyfuss was the actor in this movie. And the movie, and I don't want to give it away if you haven't seen it, but it was about a teacher who was not wanting to be a teacher. He was actually writing this musical piece all his life. He was just wanting to make it big and go to New York City and be a composer and he had this big dream, and he was always working throughout this movie on this score, this musical score that he was working on. And so what happened was he took a high school teaching job just to make ends meet to get by in the meantime until he could get to really what he really wanted to do. And one setback after another, his wife becomes pregnant. He looks back at his score, says, I'm not going to get there. I'm not going to make it. And then he knows he's going to have to teach a little longer. And then he's so excited he's going to have a baby boy. And when the baby boy is born, finds out that the baby boy cannot hear. And it devastates him because he's all about music and hearing music. And one setback after another, and he ends up spending his whole life at this school teaching. On one occasion, he was teaching a little red-headed, insecure girl how to play the clarinet, how to play music, and how to express herself through the clarinet. Well, the one day comes, and they have budget cuts, and what gets cut? The music program is about to get cut. And on his last days, he's packing up his stuff, about ready to leave the school, feeling like he hasn't really accomplished anything. He heard a stirring in the school auditorium, and he goes to the school auditorium, and it's filled full of people. And the people are all the students that he taught over all those years. And who takes the podium but that red-headed girl that was so insecure, who's now the lieutenant governor of that state. And she stands before him, and she introduces to him all of these students and says to him, Mr. Holland, we are your opus. We are the musical composition you've been trying to write all these years. And they pull back the curtains. The band's up there, and they're ready to play, and they hand him the baton for him to direct the piece that he's been working on all those years. It's a great movie. You need to go see it. But all that being said is, There was a line from a song that came out of that movie that says, life is what happens while we're making other plans. And oftentimes we miss the life that's happening now because we're always planning for what's next on down the road instead of what's happening now. And we miss the value of life. I mean, I know you've all seen It's a Wonderful Life. I won't go through that whole movie. You've seen that, right? Jimmy Stewart doesn't understand the value of his life, and finally he realizes that he is making a difference, that his life is impacting other lives. But if we're not careful, we can live our life that way where we're living just for what's around the corner. There's something more. There's an achievement that can happen. There's a relationship I still need to happen. There's something I need to possess. I need to get in my hands. Or maybe we're even just living for the next vacation, right? But around every corner, there's another challenge. There's another goal. There's another dream. There's a perceived prize. And culture even says there's something more. There's something else to fulfill your dreams. There's something else that will gratify you. There's something else that you can indulge yourself in, that you can treat yourself to. But the Bible comes along and says, but as followers of Christ, we are to deny ourselves and follow Christ. And in whatever we're doing now in the today, in the moment, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, look at your notes there, he says, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So I want to talk about this morning that sometimes we miss what's happening in the grind of every day. And we're not grateful for where we are because we're just thinking if we can get there, we'll be grateful. Instead of understanding in the grind, there's value into what we're doing right now in this moment. The prize, is it something that's just out there, or write this down in your notes. Understand this. The prize isn't in what I accomplish occasionally. That thing that every now and then I hit it when I get there. No, the prize is what I do daily for the glory of God. It's what I do every day in the grind, day in and day out. And so I've got some questions for you. What if? Write these down. What if? What if the work is the reward? I'm going to go through this real fast, so write them fast. I'll preach fast if y'all listen fast. What if the work is the reward? What if the prize is in the process? We're thinking is at the end of the process. Perhaps the prize is in the process. And third, what if you can be grateful in the grind? Grateful in the grind. That's the title of this installment. Now, let's just think about this for a moment. Our church sits across from the main entrance to UNC Charlotte. If you're watching online and you don't know where we are, we're right across the street from UNC Charlotte. And many students, their goal is graduation. But it's not just about what happens at graduation day, it's what happens in the grind that matters. And as we unpack this concept, I want to insert a few video clips today in today's message to help us get a hold of some truths from today's installment. Anybody familiar with John Maxwell? Kim actually showed a clip from John Maxwell during our prayer time this morning. John Maxwell he used to be a pastor. He speaks on leadership principles in the business community and in the church community. This church bought me years ago a John Maxwell Bible. Love John Maxwell. He's incredible. He can say in 1 minute what I can't say in an hour. But I want to just share with you, just to give you kind of a perspective on this concept of it's not just reaching a mark at the end, but it's what we do all along. Would you check this out? Check this out with me.
Today's word is Graduate on Minute with Maxwell. Hi, my name is John, and that's kind of a big day when we graduate. High school, college, some training course that we took. I travel internationally a lot, And one of the things that is very important to people as I travel international is for them to have certificates or some kind of a graduation paper that signifies that they've accomplished something and they finished it. Now, when somebody walks across the stage, let's say they're graduating from college and they get their diploma and family's happy and they're on the other side and they're ready to give out gifts and candy and take pictures and it's a big day, and they shake their hand and they say to you, "Oh my gosh, congratulations, you became successful today." I want you to understand something. You didn't become successful the day you graduate. You became successful the day you decided to go to school, the day you decided to go to class, the day you decided to study for the test, the day you took the test. You see, success is a continual journey. It just shows up at graduation. We sometimes confuse success with recognition of success. So if you have graduated, if you are a graduate, congratulations. Today you're being recognized for what you did right yesterday. Thanks for joining with me on Minute with Maxwell today.
All right. Good stuff, right? Good stuff. Let me give you a scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul says this, "For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, but I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me." Now, we recognize that grace is unmerited favor. We didn't deserve it. It's what God gives. That's what Jesus did for us on the cross. We sing about it. It's called amazing grace. But there's another definition, a second definition of grace, and that is the enabling power of God that equips us to be what he's called us to be and to do what he's called us to do. So there is some doing in what God has called us to do. And interestingly, Paul was saying, "I'm not enough, but his grace helped me." And then he goes on to say, "I worked harder than all of them." Now, that's pretty, sounds like a boasting kind of thing that he's saying there. I have worked harder than everybody else around me. I don't think Paul was bragging or complaining. I think what Paul was doing is simply stating a fact in seven words: "I worked harder than all of them." And I cannot imagine the depths of sacrifices that are contained in those words. But I want us to understand, Paul was saying, "I was in the grind day in and day out, and I was working this thing out, and I was following Christ consistently," and he's stating this truth. What he was saying was, while they were all sleeping, I was strategizing daily how best to advance the gospel and how to follow Christ. When most were idolizing comfort, I was beaten, I was shipwrecked, I was snake bitten, while others took a shortcut. Day in and day out, I did the hard work of consistently following Christ. I had a father-in-law that used to say, "We are to contend for the faith." Sometimes it's a battle, it's a struggle. But Paul knew what that was like. He said, "I have worked hard, but it's not just me. I can't do that in and of myself, but it is God's grace given me the ability to do that." He said, I memorized God's word. Not just didn't memorize it, I wrote it. I wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. He said, even while they threw me in prison, I didn't say, "Well, when I get out of prison, then I can accomplish something." No, even in prison, he won people to the Lord even while he was in that place, in the grind. He started churches where there were no Christians. When he was shipwrecked, he continued to lead other people to Christ. He wasn't wishing it away. He didn't wallow it away. He didn't wait it away, which is most of what a lot of us do. He continued on. In prison, he didn't say, "Again, wait till I get out." When he was shipwrecked, he didn't say, "Well, I've been shipwrecked. I thought God was with me, and here I am on this island, this deserted island. What am I doing here? Forget this. I'm going to throw in the towel. I give up. I can't do this anymore. You know, somebody offended me. Somebody looked at me the wrong way in church, and I don't like this. I went to church, you know, and I tried it. I went, you know, twice a year. I couldn't find a parking space, or they got gravel lot, and it hurts my feet when I walk in, and the temperature was too high or too low, and I'm just not going to. I've tried it. I ain't going to try that anymore. No, he didn't do that. He actually continued to follow the Lord. He didn't say, Barnabas left me, and I give up. No, he didn't have time to do that. But he kept going and said, whatever I do, I'm going to do it for the glory of God. And I just want to encourage you. We got some dream teamers around here that I want to encourage this morning and say, I want to encourage you that, you know, whatever that is, if it's changing diapers, you know, if it's greeting people in the parking lot, if it's shaking hands, doing coffee, whatever that looks like for you, or maybe even in your personal life and you're making sales calls or you're doing laundry or you're running errands for the boss, do everything for the glory of God, because there is a work to be done and there's a prize to be received, a reward to be received. But what I wanted to see is there's a prize even now in the process, and to be grateful even in the grind. Let me give you three enemies of the true reward that God wants us to receive. There's three enemies. The first one, write this down, the pillow. The pillow is the seduction of comfort. Now, I brought a pillow this morning. This is called my pillow. It is. It's my pillow. It's my pillow. It's off my bed. It's my pillow. And I'm going to do like the guy on the TV commercial, My Pillow. And by the way, this is one of his. This is the My Pillow pillow. You wish you had one, don't you? And it's just comfortable. Oh, it feels so good. And you know, and it's where you just want things comfortable. You want things comfortable. I had somebody say to me one time, I think church should be convenient. And I'm like, I don't think it was convenient when Jesus went to the cross, but I just got to be comfortable. In fact, that's one of the three things people look for when they're looking for a church. They want to be comfortable, and we want things comfortable. So we want a better house. We want a better car. And when I get to that place, I'll be able to relax and really enjoy life and do life when things are more comfortable. When I get a different boss than I got right now, then I can relax and really enjoy life. If I can make more money, you know, I'm not there. I'm working towards it. But when I get to the place where I get rid of my debt, Dave Ramsey people, okay, and then I could take life easy. Can I tell you something? God never called us to the easy. He called us to deny ourselves, to take up our cross and follow him. Because listen, easy never changed the world. But if it's not the pillow, it's the shiny thing. I was asking my son, I said, what could be a shiny thing? He said, your watch. Okay, so here's my watch. It is a shiny thing. It doesn't look shiny to you, but it's shiny to me. Because when you touch it, I mean, when we first turned this thing on, it had this like starburst thing. It said, you know, and I'm like, wow. Write this down. The shiny thing is the allure of constant distractions. And if I've ever seen a distraction, this phone is it right here. I mean, this watch is it. Well, it's kind of like a phone. I mean, it does it all. I don't know if y'all have one of these, but you need one of these. If you get one of these, your life would be better, see? You just get this. I know it's not very good right now. Once you get this, you'll have arrived, and then it'll be okay. You know, a shiny thing. The phone could be a shiny thing. I mean, like, you can get it on here. Netflix. And then you watch one thing, and it'll tell you what you would be really interested in seeing. There's 99% chance that you really want to see this. And if you're shopping for this online, it'll tell you other people looking for this also shop for this, and you need this. And the next thing you know, you're just doing this, and you're looking, and you're just saying, you know, if I could just get that shiny thing, then you know, we're always grass is greener on the other side, right? If I could just, you know, let me give you another one. The towel. The towel is the perpetual temptation to quit. I brought a towel. It's a temptation to quit. I can't get my marriage together. I can't get my finances together. I don't know about this church thing. I think I'll just throw in the towel. Just throw in the towel. And that's what sometimes a lot of people do. Just throw in the towel. I give up. I'm walking away. I quit. Can I just tell you what Paul, I believe, would tell us? When we are tempted to throw in the towel because they didn't appreciate me, or I don't think I'm making that much of a difference, or this is too hard, you can throw in the towel, or you can do like Paul. I think Paul would say, take the towel, wipe your face off, and come on, wipe some sweat off, and get back to work, because there's a work to be done. Deny yourself, come on, contend for the faith, and stay in the fight, right? We are not of those that turn back. God has called us to continue forward. There is a work to be done. There's a prize in the process, right? So we can be grateful in the grind. Another thing that we can do with a towel, Jesus girded himself with a towel, and he knelt down and he began to use it to wash the disciples' feet. We can take the towel and we can serve other people. When things aren't going right for yourself, start thinking about somebody else, because that will be a motivator. Jesus was moved with compassion when he saw the needs in the multitude. He moved with compassion towards them. Can I tell you that some of us just need a purpose to be able to move towards someone in a need? I would encourage you, if you're having a hard time today, just take a stroll through the hospital hallway and see people in need that are hurting, and you'll forget about your problems and you'll realize. I remember years ago I had a pastor friend that was very, very sick, and I saw him go down to less than 100 pounds and all what he was going through. And I remember, I was a teenager at the time, and I remember saying these words, I will never, ever complain again. Of course, I have broke that many times. But I'm telling you, when you're in that moment of understanding there's somebody else in need and I've got to get to them and I ain't got time to think about my problems, I'm concerned about ministering to them, your problems will take care of themselves. Just as I've learned in pastoring, it's not trying to solve people's problems, but giving them something bigger than their problems. And when they live for that thing that's bigger than their problems, that problem will go away. Or at least it'll shrink and get in perspective and help you understand what really is important in life. Not diminishing problems, I'm just saying we need a purpose beyond that. Another thing that you can do with a towel, I need a little bit smaller towel for this. This towel was actually given to me at my ordination ceremony. When I became an ordained bishop. Y'all didn't know I was an ordained bishop, did you? I'm Bishop Hobbs. Anyway, it's a beautiful towel with a cross on it. And I would present it to you this way. When you talk, many people will talk about waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord. I'm going to wait on God. I'm going to wait on God. And I'm just going to wait. I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to wait. Can I tell you what I believe the biblical example of waiting is? It's when you take the towel and you say, how may I, see if I can do this right. How may I serve you as a waiter waits on tables? So we're waiting on God, but we're not just sitting idly, as I like to say, on a stump of do nothing and whistling a tune of do less. No, we are serving, we're working as we're waiting on God and trusting God for the outcome and what he wants to do. We are waiting, we are serving. I want to encourage us in 2020 to get busy doing. Let's do something for the kingdom of God. Let's do something that matters, because everything you do, if you do it as unto the Lord, it matters and it makes a difference. I got another clip I want to show you. I want to mix this up a little bit today. Another clip from John Maxwell. I love what Reinhard Bonnke, a minister of the gospel who's ministered to millions on the continent of Africa, who said that many people are always waiting on the Lord, but what he's discovered is God will work with those who work, not just those that are. And you see it throughout Scripture. He works with those that are working and not just waiting. I wonder if that's why he chose Paul. Paul was a doer. And God said, you're doing the wrong thing. I'm going to turn you around and make you a doer of the right thing. I want you to check out this video again from John Maxwell.
Hi, John Maxwell here. Welcome to Minute with Maxwell. I have a thought I would like to share with you. It's a question. A question you've heard a lot of times. I've heard it a lot. The question is, What are you waiting for? Now, when I think of that question, the first thing that comes to my mind is this. If you're waiting, you're already in trouble. I don't mean that unkindly, but very few good things in my life have come because I've just been sitting, waiting around for them to happen. That's not the way life is. Life rewards the person who initiates. The ability and the discipline to initiate something that you want is the first step to bringing it to you, because here's what I've learned. The resources, the people, the dreams, the things that you really want in your life, they don't start moving until you start moving. In fact, I tell people all the time, quit waiting, start moving. The moment that you move, then you begin to attract those people, resources, ideas to you. But they don't move unless you move. And what I've also learned is the moment you stop, they stop also. I've watched people start the movement. They start coming toward them, and then they just stop. And when they stop, then all of a sudden they say, well, what happened? All of a sudden, no more ideas, no more people, no more resource. Here's what I know. I call it motion attraction. When you move, you attract other things that move towards you. That's what I want for you. So what are you waiting for? I'll tell you what you're waiting for. If you're waiting for something, you're waiting for nothing. Because usually that's what you get if you wait. If you want something, get off the bench, start walking, my friend. It'll come to you.
Good stuff, right? Good stuff. Let me just follow that up by saying, okay, we need to work. A lot of people would say what we need to do is follow your passion and begin to work in the grind, fulfilling what you're passionate about. And while that is good, and you hear that a lot of times at graduation speeches, if you're not careful, once again, you could find yourself, even while working, it's the carrot on the stick, trying to find that thing that's going to fulfill you instead of, in the moment today, you're being self-serving and you're following what God has called you to do. Let me put it to you this way. Passions don't always pay the bills. When we talk about graduating, say just follow your passion as long as you do something you love. And I think that's ideal, especially if you can make money off of that and it takes care of your needs. But passion in itself doesn't always pay the bill. In other words, put it to you this way. There's sometimes in life that the things we do, we're not always passionate about, but we still do them. Sometimes life in the grind can be boring, can be mundane, but yet it's necessary. It's not always fun, but there's something greater than passion, and that is purpose. With that, I want to give you this scripture, and that's what Paul was saying. Because Paul was saying, look, I've been beaten. I've been shipwrecked. All these things that have happened to him, stoned, and that's not the 60s kind of stoned. I mean, he was stoned, okay? He was stoned, left for dead, and yet he was driven by not, and that wasn't fun. That wasn't his passion to go out and say, my passion is to go out and get beat up every day. No, but he had a purpose that drove him. I'm going to show you what purpose will do, but I'm going to give you the scripture found in Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, where he says, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. He was consumed with that task, but what happened was, as he followed God's purpose, he developed a passion for it. So I want to give you three discoveries that I see here, and I'll move through these very, very quickly. So follow me very quickly, right fast, all right? Number one. My selfish passion is about me, because sometimes our passion can be very self-centered. It's selfish. But God is calling me to selfless purpose. So my passion is about me, but God is calling me to selfless purpose. Now that's a discovery. I want to give you a declaration along with that. And that is, instead of pursuing my selfish passions, I will pursue God's purpose. That needs to be a declaration that each of us make. Instead of pursuing my selfish passions, in fact, let's just say it out loud. Would you say it with me? Instead of pursuing my selfish passions, I will pursue God's purpose. Think about Paul again. There may be some things that we don't like to do, but yet we know it's God's purpose. But what happens is God's purpose will lead us to become passionate about it, which leads to the second point. Number two, my passion will follow my purpose. Again, my passion will follow my purpose. So let's make this declaration. Write this down and then we'll say it together. As I pursue God's purpose, I will discover my passion. Let's say it together, shall we? As I pursue God's purpose, someone say it out loud, I will discover my passion. My passion. And here's what our purpose will help us do. Number three, write this down. My purpose helps me become passionate about ordinary things. My purpose helps me become passionate about ordinary things. So something mundane, something ordinary takes on meaning. So let's make this declaration. Write this down. Whatever I do all for the glory of God. Whatever I do, you want to know what fulfillment is? That's where you find it right there, friends. Whatever I do, I do all for the glory of God. Whatever I do, whether it's small, where it seems to be insignificant, whether it's boring, whether it's monotonous, I do all for the glory of God. In the grind, in today, in the moment, where I am, if we don't live life that way, listen, we will miss life. It's going to be happening. It's a shame to be in the most wonderful moment and miss it because you're thinking about the next moment. Let me mention another movie to you called Facing the Giants. Anybody seen Facing the Giants? I'm getting more hands as I go. That's awesome. Facing the Giants, there's a scene in the locker room and the head coach from Georgia, University of Georgia, comes walking in and he talks to the head coach of the high school and he's talking about how it feels to win the big one. And he begins to explain to him that, you know, it's not everything I thought it would be. And he says, because that's not the big one. And that had a backstory to it, a real life story. It wasn't just in a movie. It came from back when this head coach was actually under Bobby Bowden at Florida State University, my school, thank you very much. And Florida State had just won the national championship. And Bobby Bowden goes into his staff and says, so how did it win? How did it feel to win the big one, guys? And they all said, well, it was great. We looked forward to it for so long. But when we got there, it was over. And it was like, it wasn't everything I thought it would be. You know, just something's lacking. I mean, I was excited, but it was short-lived. And Bobby Bowden looked at all of them and said, because that wasn't the big one. The big one is when you accept Jesus Christ into your life. And he becomes Lord of your life. And can I tell you, that's the secret to this whole thing. It's because Jesus isn't just one day when we're going to meet him face to face. Jesus is with us today in the grind. His presence is with us day by day. We walk and talk with him and have fellowship with him. His presence is with us throughout everything that we're going through, which makes all of this worthwhile, which makes us have understand our purpose and gives us passion and ability and grace to do what God's called us to do. Amen? Right? Think about that. And if Bobby Bowden explained that, I've heard him speak before when he also gives the analogy of baseball. And he says he used to love to play baseball before he was coaching football. And he said, guys, what I have learned, though, is you can run around all the bases and you can slide in home, but if you miss first base, it doesn't count. And first base, everybody knows where I'm going with this, right? First base is Jesus. If you don't have him in your life, you have actually missed the whole thing. And I just, this is a message to help us understand that when we're in the grind, don't miss what's happening in the grind, in that process. And learn to be grateful for where God has us right here today. I mean, I would love for this place to have be so packed out. We have multiple services and have multiple locations and all those things. But can I tell you right now, with who I'm looking at right now, this is a wonderful day, and we are so blessed, and God is with us, and God's equipped us, and God is for us right here in this moment, in the here and now. Don't miss what God's doing, because if we're not careful, we can miss the relationships that God has blessed us with. We can do that in church. We can do that in our homes, in our marriage. If I had a different husband, a different wife that did things different, if I had different kids, sorry, you ain't gonna, you know. Don't miss the relationships God has blessed us with all along the way, and the most importantly, the personal relationship that we can enjoy with Jesus today. I got one more clip that I want to share with you that somebody shared with me this week, and I've got to share it with you. Check this out. This kid gets it right.
On behalf of the senior class, I would like to thank all the people who make the King's Academy excellent. To the Board of Governors, for the wisdom you bring, the prayers that you pray, and the vision you lay out for TKA, we thank you. To the administration, for the godly oversight you bring to the school and for making the tough calls when needed, we thank you. To the faculty, who give your all each and every day, laboring to provide us with a tremendous education and pushing us to do our best, even on the days that we don't want to learn, all the while taking the extra time to build relationships with us that for some will last a lifetime. We thank you. To the staff who work tirelessly, coordinating our lives and our events while supporting us and the faculty, we thank you. To the King's Academy Maintenance Department, who keep our campus running efficiently and create a beautiful place for us to come and learn every day, we thank you. To each member of each family represented in the senior class, whose support, sacrifice, and dedication has not been overlooked, we thank you. Especially the parents and the guardians who have paid for and who have supported us throughout our education, we thank you and we love you. I stand before you tonight as the 2019 valedictorian. This time last year, I found out that I was in the running for this title. It was then that I decided I wanted it. So, I worked hard for it. I sacrificed for it. And yes, I stressed for it. And I got it. And at our senior award ceremony, it felt so good when I heard my name announced with this title. It was so good. For about 15 seconds. Yeah, 15 seconds of my heart racing and my adrenaline pumping. 15 seconds of, yeah, I won! 15 seconds of being at the top of the pile of all my accomplishments. And it felt euphoric. But there must come a 16th second. And on that 16th second, sat down in my seat, I looked at my silver stole that says valedictorian, and I thought, that's it? What just happened? Why am I not feeling anything else? To be honest, I don't even know what I was expecting. A parade of balloons to drop? Or maybe I was hoping that all of my problems would fade away in comparison to this amazing achievement. But none of that happened, not even in my heart. I felt nothing. I was shocked. This was a huge problem for me, and I needed to figure out why. So here was my thought process. Working hard is good. It is, in fact, biblical. But it should not be done for the sole purpose of a goal's sake at the expense of relationship with others. And looking back on this year, I realized that the stress of this year for this goal in a 5-minute speech was paid for with the lack of attending to relationships in my life. A lesson learned and self-reflection accomplished. Now, I would like you, my fellow classmates, to do some self-reflecting. I would like you to take a moment to fill in a different thing that you strive for and you focused on. Something that you thought was the end-all, be-all. Perhaps it was sports. Perhaps it was fine arts, academics, getting into a particular school, an unhealthy social life, social media, or video games. Friends, we are about to launch into life, and we haven't messed anything up yet. Now think, instead of academics taking your focus off your important relationships, it was your career you chose over your spouse. Instead of sports, it's money that you pursue at the detriment of your children. Instead of just the Instagram-worthy picture, it's striving to be famous at the expense of time with your friends because now you're too self-involved. I'm well aware that this is kind of a downer speech, but I don't care. Because a lesson learned should be a lesson shared. Now, I'm glad that I have only made this mistake of striving for something that is in the light of eternity, not important, for just 1 year. I can't imagine if I had learned this at 50 or at the end of my life. And here's the lesson. Have no regrets in the 16th second. Nothing is more important than your healthy relationships. Nothing. Not your goals, not your successes. And here is why. Relationships are where we get to influence, impact, and change people's lives. Your life cannot be meaningful without them. And we are put on this earth by our Creator, and we all have a purpose: to advance God's kingdom that all may be saved. Now, how we all go about that, that's what's different. It's different in what college we choose, who we marry, and what career we choose. It's different in the triumphs and tragedies that come upon us. But in all those things, new relationships are being formed. As you live your life on this earth, there is no greater good than you can do for a person than to love them so much that you point them to Jesus Christ. But first, he should be your first relationship that you cannot neglect. And I want you to know, I have been here at TKA for 14 years, and I love this school, and I love all of you, my classmates. And tonight, I am imploring you, if you have not begun that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, just do it. There is no better way to start something new and close a chapter of your life than with him. If he is your Lord and Savior, then make sure you care for that relationship above all others. And after that, prioritize what is important in your life and never, never lose focus of your important relationships. So be generous with your time and money, and a lot of relational issues will be resolved. And by the way, it's not too late to mend fractured relationships. Any friends you haven't spoken to in a while because of your pride, parents whom you disrespected, and teachers who you never thanked, just do it. Humble yourself. Start a conversation. Have no regrets in the 16th second. In conclusion, this has been one of the hundreds of life lessons I have learned at the King's Academy, and that has been more valuable than academics. So thank you to all who have taken the time to teach each of us our lessons. And once again, thank you to our parents who have been the main source of our lesson learning. We did it, you and us, and we love you for your sacrifice to put us at King's and for putting up with our attitudes along the way. Thank you for sticking with us. When we receive our diploma tonight, just know we all have earned it.
So let me point you, as this young man said, to Jesus, not to what's out there. When you get there, that's when you're going to be fulfilled. Fulfillment starts today in this moment. Bow your heads with me, and I'm going to give you this last scripture as your heads are bowed. Colossians 3:23-24 says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." So we learn that we can be bold in witness, faithful in service, extravagant in giving, and yes, We can be grateful in the grind. Today. Today. Life happens now. Today. A brand new beginning is now. It starts here. Today. Not some way, somehow, someday out there. No. Today. Today, the Bible says, is a day of salvation. Today, everything can change. Today, what you do right now matters. I want to give an opportunity right in this now moment for people to come to Christ. If you're watching online or if you're here in this building, and you know that you need to hit first base. You need to make sure in all of your attaining and achieving and striving for that you're not missing what matters. What matters most is that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And today you just need to make sure that that relationship is as it needs to be. If you're in this house today and you say, Pastor, when you pray this prayer in closing, leading people to Christ, would you count me in that prayer? I would like you just to slip up a hand. You put it right back down. Good job. Awesome. Yes. Good job. Proud of you. Awesome. Yes. If you're watching online, you can join us. And if you're, yes. Good job. I see that hand. Yes. Good job. I just want to lead you in a prayer. If you're watching online, would you join us? And I'd like everybody to pray this out loud for support. Come on, let's pray it together. Come on. All you got to do is mean it from your heart. Pray this prayer. Thank you, God, for loving me, for wanting to have a relationship with me. Forgive me for allowing other things to lead me away from you. Today, I come asking you to come into my life. Be first in my life. I turn away from my way to follow you. Thank you for dying on the cross so that I could have a relationship with you. I accept what you did for me in paying my debt and forgiving my sins now. Come inside, God. Make me brand new. Be Lord of my life. I declare today that you are my Savior. You are my Lord. I accept your love. I accept your forgiveness. I surrender my life to you. With all my heart, I'll follow you as you help me. In Jesus' name. Thank you, God, for every person that's prayed that prayer, needed to pray it. We affirm today, God, we commit and we recommit. We declare you are Lord of all of our life, King of all the kingdoms of our life, God. Jesus, help us not to miss you. Help us to walk with you, to talk with you day by day in the midst of it all. For it's where your presence is, that's where peace resides, that's where joy resides. So, Lord, be with us, go with us, lead us. May we, God, impact people as we go. As we deliver the gospel, it's a going gospel. It's as we go, as we do what you've called us to do, as you've placed us, where you've placed us, God. God, let us be light and salt. Let us make the difference, God. Let us, through the relationships you give us, Lord, lead them to the relationship above all relationships and knowing you. And for everything accomplished, God, we give all the praise and glory to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, Amen.